Richie Neal, this is the 20th anniversary of the war in Iraq. Looking back, what do you think?
Well, I had a chance to reflect upon the statement that I offered. I stood on the House floor and challenged the Bush administration over the authenticity of the argument that they were offering, and subsequently I voted against the war in Iraq. But I got up and spoke against it. I was appalled at the idea that they were doing this by cherry-picking the evidence. They were doing this by finding the slightest opportunity, and my impression is that they had made up their minds about the conclusion without finding the evidence. And I recall the browbeating that we took. I recall those meetings with the Secretary of Defense, the Vice President, the Secretary of State, National Security Advisors, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And I actually challenged them at a session, which was locked off from the public in the House of Representatives, on the floor. And I raised questions about it with General Myers. And I don't think of myself as being a military genius, but I thought that the evidence that they were presenting was very vacuous. And I kept saying one compelling thing: let the weapons inspectors finish their work. And I think that the rush to war was a flawed decision. And I think that the legacy costs, considering the 4,800 young men and women who were killed in Iraq, American soldiers, estimated 270,000 Iraqis were killed, 31,000 American military were wounded. I look back at that decision, and I think that if the weapons inspectors had been allowed to finish their work, there would not have been the invasion of Iraq. So it's one of those questions that I think that will be debated for a long period of time. But I don't know anybody who would make the argument that we would have gone to war had the evidence been conclusively detailed for the American people that the premise of the war, weapons of mass destruction, did not exist.
Richie Neal, I want to ask you a question that occurs to me every time I turn the television news on, and that has to do with the Xi-Putin relationship. Is there any insight you can give us as to what's really going on there?
No, I think that there's it's a moment of convenience for the two of them. The war has not gone the way that Putin promised the Russian people. Three cheers for President Zelensky and his leadership. I also think that President Xi is at the time witnessing an economic downturn, very slow economic growth. And also, I think there's a chance here to remind people that the media reports at the beginning of the pandemic, everybody said what a great job China was doing with the pandemic. Well, 6 months ago, they were beating people up in the streets, locking them in their homes and putting them in jail because they had not done as good a job as America had done with curtailing the pandemic. Their science was flawed. What they had used in terms of medical assistance and all, it didn't come close to what America did. But I think that when we look at it now, you have a Chinese economy that's ailing, and you have a Russian military effort that is ailing. And I think that the Western Europe and the rest of the civilized world has risen up to support the Ukrainian people. Three cheers for the Poles and the Romanians and the Baltic states. And how about the consideration that Sweden and Finland want to join NATO, and Switzerland might even consider it? They're afraid of what a stronger Russia might do. And, you know, if you're in Estonia, Lithuania, or Latvia, you know what those Russian tanks did. So I think Joe Biden has done a very credible job in rallying the world to our position, and we need to stay with the position we have, that this is not about a greater Russia. This is about the advances of civilization in resisting what Putin has in mind.
Richie Neal, changing subjects, President Biden will go to Ireland to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. What's made the peace last there?
Well, I think men and women of goodwill have had much to do with it. Virtually everybody had to give up something to get to the accommodation that we know as this celebration. But the American dimension was indispensable. I think we were honest brokers. I met with all the parties last week in Washington. I talked to the leaders of Sinn Féin, DUP, SDLP, UUP. I introduced the president to some of them. And I thought we had a very vigorous conversation. And now it's time to get on with the next 25 years and not to argue about the last 25 years that have been successful. And the biggest issue for us who have been supporters of the nationalist position has been the elimination of a border between the North in the Republic of Ireland, and it has worked fabulously.
It's amazing. It really is. How will Democrats attempt to retake the House in 2024?
Well, I think based upon the quality of candidates, I think that that's a place where Senator McConnell and I would agree. That's the quality of the candidate. And I think the candidates that we had in the last round were far superior to theirs. And I think had we played our hand right in the state of New York, we'd have had a better outcome and might have held on to the House. I never bought the idea that was being put out by punditry that we were going to get devastated in the election. I took the position that not only were we going to be competitive, that we might hold on. And if we had played our cards right in Arizona, Iowa, and upstate New York, we would have held on.
Richie, let me ask you this. You're in the House minority. You've been in the majority. Now you're in the minority. What's that like?
Well, I think that it's not great for humility, but at the same time, I think that the numbers are so close in the House, and the Senate is controlled by Democrats with a Democratic president, I think that there's going to be a considerable impasse for the next couple of years. I think that that still should leave some room for addressing the issue of immigration, for example. We all know that we can't have the chaos at the border and the suffering at the border that's taking place, but we could have a sensible policy that could come out of that. I also think that we're recognizing that we have a record low unemployment rate, but that means that there are still 11 million jobs in America every day that go unanswered. There are, at the moment, two jobs available for every unemployed person in America. I think a better alignment of that through opportunity and education makes a great deal of sense.
Richie Neal, what needs do you think Western Massachusetts has from Beacon Hill and the new administration?
Well, I think the biggest issue for me is regional equity. I think that making sure that all of that federal money, which, as you know, I had a major hand in getting for the
state.
Yes,
you did.
And I want to make sure that it's treated accordingly. We put in place up to $14 billion of direct aid. We have $9 billion of aid for infrastructure. The CARES Act kept cash in the hands of people and shots in the arms. And I want to make sure that rail transportation for us on the transportation side is a priority. But I also want to make sure that UMass and our community colleges and our state colleges are all well financed. This is the time. I have spoken to Governor Healey, and the two of us are on the same page as it relates to this. I just want to make sure and ensure that our voices west of Worcester are heard.
So there have been a number of recent articles about delays in production of rail cars for Boston's T at the CRRC plant in Springfield. What should people know about this situation? And we only have a minute.
Well, I think the governor is on it. She's made it a priority and says it's a fixable problem. And I've taken a pretty substantial position in terms of, look, there are 280 unionized manufacturing jobs at that facility. I hope people have a chance to see it. And the management there certainly should be a critique. I don't think there's any question about that. But let's not conflate the problems of the rail cars with the problems that the T has had for as long as I can remember.
It's always wonderful to talk to our friend Richie Neal, Massachusetts 1st District, my congressman, Democrat in office since 1989. Richie, again, thanks for showing up and thanks for being so straightforward with us.
Great to talk to you, Alan. All the best.